Well, a normal bank would be a bank where you store money. Biobanks are large repositories of biological samples, and those samples can come from humans, animals, or even plants. So a lot of people have heard of the Seed Vault in Norway, where they've got seeds from all across the world that they're storing for future populations. And so that's one example of a biobank that stores biological samples from plants. In recent years, there's been a large push to create large biobanks, like global biobanks, with human biological samples. So these can be human tissue, could be blood samples, DNA samples, could be any kind of, could even be organs. So there's brain banks, for example, where they do research on, for example, Alzheimer's disease. And for future populations, we hope that these biobanks will become a resource for data analysis and perhaps even drug discovery.
I'm imagining like fluorescent lights, lots of plastic and sort of, can you sort of, if you step into one, can you visualize it for me?
Sure. There are biobanks where you would have these large, almost like a library of samples that you would pull out from freezer stored cabinets. But now that biobanks are going global and are also going a bit virtual, you can have these small collections stored in numerous sites around the place, but pooled together in a central database, so an IT database.
And I imagine that's been made possible through the, you know, big technological breakthroughs like big data and storage and that sort of thing. Can you talk about how that process is going, networking these biobanks together?
Sure. So big data and biobanks do go hand in hand. Biobanks are one vehicle through which big data is becoming a global, exciting phenomenon. So these networks can pull together resources from numerous countries. So, for example, there are biobanks in Latin America and in Europe that pull together biological samples from humans from numerous different countries that participate in unions such as the European Union. There are also biobanks that centralize their resources. So they might have financial operations run through the UK and then sample collection conducted in China and then the storage facilities located in a different area of China, for example. So there's numerous different ways that biobanks can go global, and this, of course, has certain ethical consequences that flow on from that.
But before we touch on that, I wanted to ask, have there been any like massive breakthroughs made possible specifically through biobanks?
To answer that question, we'd have to really expand our frame of what a biobank is.
Okay.
So the collection and storage and analysis of biological samples is central to a lot of basic science research. And so when this has been conducted on small populations, that has had certain benefits. And in fact, for example, research on animals, whether you like it or not, has contributed to perhaps extending human longevity by more than 20 years. So I would say that there have been a lot of discoveries made through biological sample collection, storage, and analysis. And the hope is that in having these massive repositories in global biobanks, we can really enhance the rate of discovery and the amount of discovery.
So that's the good stuff. What about the ethical dilemmas you mentioned?
Sure. So in going global, there are numerous ethical dilemmas that we need to think about. One is, what happens when a sample is collected in one country and stored in another country? What is the right of the donor in that instance to withdraw their tissue or to have access to their tissue or to benefit from the findings done on their tissue? The other big question that is in everyone's mind when they think about biobanks, in every specialist's mind, is informed consent. How can you ask a potential donor to give a biological sample if you don't know what that sample is going to be used for? And that's a huge ethical question. There's numerous other ones, but the last one I would like to flag is these biobanks are really costly endeavors. They're multi-million dollar, if not billion dollar projects. Now, if you have such a costly endeavor and you're investing so much money into it, how do you ensure its sustainability and longevity? And so there is a great potential for these biobanks to then be sold on to pharmaceutical companies with commercial interests.
Right, and if you donate your tissue to it and then it's sold to a pharmaceutical company.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the deal?
Well, indeed, with informed consent, do people consent to that up front? This has to be looked at in two ways. So pharmaceutical companies can really help drive the data analysis from what we're collecting in these huge biobanks. On the other hand, they do have commercial interests. So they might be able to accelerate the data analysis and discovery. But on the other hand, the distribution of benefits might be compromised.
I wanted to touch on something else as well. I read this study. It comes out of a university in Sweden called Uppsala University. It found that the length of time that a blood sample has been stored in a biobank might affect test results on the blood as much as a factor like the donor's age. So they're finding just now that storage time is a massive factor when it comes into these tissue samples. How can we ensure that research conducted using biobank samples is as sound as possible?
Oh, this is a fantastic question. And that is one example of how data collection and storage across different countries can adhere to different standards of practice. There are numerous ways in which the quality of tissue can be affected through the reagents used, the storage temperature, the facilities, human handling. And across countries, once you have divergent standards of practice, this potentially does harm what we call the veracity of the research findings. And veracity means the dimension of truth that we can get from these and the robustness of the data that we are analysing.
How do you prevent against that? Does it need to be like a central body? That I know this is all speculation and hypotheticals, but in your opinion, what's the best way to control the quality?
So for one, research like this project done at Uppsala University is really important to understand how tissue changes over time as it is stored under stable conditions. So that's one dimension of understanding how to account for the degradation of tissue or changes that occur over time. The other one is to have standardized practices of data collection and storage across different settings if they're contributing to the same biobank, and to be absolutely transparent about those processes so that they can be factored into analysis in the most robust ways possible.
So what is the true potential of this technology? Give it a decade or two. Where do you see this going?
So biobanks for big data researchers are absolutely fascinating and really exciting, because if you want to do clinical trials, you've got to go through a lot of hoops to get to the point where you can test, for example, a drug or a surgical procedure upon a population of patients. And the beauty about biobank research is that you're doing it on a ready-made population of samples. Now, it's not the same as clinical research, and I'm certainly wary about letting biobanks have a monopoly over research practices, but they're going to be a very useful resource for future populations.